I'm a psychic, my name is Amy. You can really ask me anything. Spiritual ass kicking's what I do, and I'm here to mentor you. You can love your life and make a change. Do it the Amy Scott Grant way. It's the state of the universe, the state of the universe. Amy Talks!
Hey, this is Amy Scott Grant. Welcome back to another installment of Amy Talks. In this episode, we're talking about how to get unstuck. You know, this is one of the things that comes up a lot from people. When I ask, you know, what do you need help with? What are you most interested in learning? What can I assist you with? This is one of the most common answers. That, and is this person the one? That's more like a quick, like, hey, is this the one? Yes or no? But the main thing people want help with is, how do I get unstuck? And that might mean getting unstuck in all of your life. That might mean one area in particular. So in this episode and the next one, we're going to talk about getting unstuck. I'm going to show you, well, I can't really show you because this is a podcast, but I'm going to tell you some ways that you can get unstuck. And we'll even look specifically around money as well. So, la-di-da. Okay, here we go. One of the ways that you can get unstuck, well, and probably the way that I'm best known for, is by busting a block, right? In many cases, you find that you're stuck because there's some block or doubt or limiting belief that's keeping you right where you are. And you feel like you can't see the block or don't know how to get rid of it. But what you will find is if we clear the block, all of a sudden you find you have the power and you have the knowledge to be able to shift the whole situation. So let's say, for example, you're stuck around health. Specifically, you know that you want to start exercising, but you can't seem to find the time or the willpower or the motivation or the right pants, because that matters too. So you might have a block that says, I hate exercise, or I'm lazy, or I have no willpower, or I really don't like to sweat. Or I'll tell you what one of mine is my hair is very fussy. And so it takes a long time to fix my hair. So I can't really do anything that, you know, messes up my hair, because then that just, you know, then it takes all this time to get my hair to look good again, right? So it doesn't matter if you think it's silly or not. If you have a block that's preventing you from doing that, from getting your workout in gear, then clearing that block is like paving a path ahead. All of a sudden, there's no more obstacles. There's nothing to prevent you from moving forward. Now, I'm not going to talk today about how to clear blocks, because goodness, we talk about that a lot. And you could just get a copy of my book, 1-2-3 Clarity, Banish Your Blocks, Doubts, Fears, and Limiting Beliefs Like a Spiritual Badass, available on Amazon. Okay, so you could bust a block. That's one way that you can get unstuck. Another way to get unstuck is by using the pattern shatter. Now, in many cases, the reason that you feel stuck is because you're trapped in some pattern or some type of habit, which is literally keeping you stuck in a rut. You've probably heard me talk before about neural pathways in the brain, right? And it's kind of like when you blaze a trail out in the woods. The first person to walk that trail is figuring out as they go, might even show up accidentally. And after they've walked the trail, there's not a lot of evidence. But if six people go hiking and trailblazing and they all trample the same trail, and then they come back the next day and walk the same path, and they do that for several times over the next couple of weeks, and then other people hear about it and start doing it, like, what happens? That's how a trail becomes a trail. It becomes very evident where the trail is. And the more people that walk on that trail, the more difficult it is for any vegetation to grow over the trail, right? Like, the trail will stay a clear path. Additionally, when you're hiking, it's so much easier to stay on that trail, isn't it? It's, in fact, that's sort of one of the top rules of hiking, is stay on the trail. That's how people get lost, when they get off the trail. So we are sort of taught, impressed upon, ingrained. It's like ingrained in our brains that we stick to the trail. We stick to the pattern. So when you are creating something repeatedly, it's causing neural pathways, much like trails, to form in your head. And the deeper and the more entrenched that trail gets, that neural pathway, the harder it is for you to step off and create something different. But the good news is that even though it takes 21 days to begin to create new habits, new strong neural pathways, it actually only takes a split second to use a pattern shatter. 1 second. So in an instant, you can shatter a pattern by simply choosing a different action. Let's say that you and one of your relatives have the same conversation over and over. And this could be your spouse, your dad, your cousin, your great aunt, Louise. It could be anyone, right? And you have this conversation and the conversation goes the same way every time, right? They say something, you say something back, then they say something. And after a while you realize, wow, we keep having the same conversation. Like we're even responding in the same way. What if the very next time the other person initiates that conversation, you say the exact opposite of whatever you'd normally say? You know, like if you get into the same argument with grandma and she always says, you know, the government, it's these kids today. They want everything handed to them. And when I was a kid, we didn't have anything handed to us. And rah, rah, rah. And maybe your response is, yes, grandma, I know it was very hard when you were a kid, but now times have changed and people are different. And then she says, well, people aren't really different. They're just lazy now. They don't know how to work for something, right? So let's say that's sort of the gist of the conversation. What if when grandma starts out and says the first thing she says, which is these kids today, they want everything handed to them. What if you took that opportunity to stand up and get a glass of water? Or what if you decided this would be a good time to go to the bathroom and you got up and left the room and used the restroom? You know, you don't have to walk out, but you could say, excuse me, grandma, I need to use the restroom. I'll be back. You know, and she may keep having her rant while you're gone and be done by the time you get out of the bathroom. Or what if you tried changing the subject? Hey, Grandma, did you try those new Werther's candies I bought for you? What did you think of those? Or maybe you even say something like, Grandma, what was your favorite candy when you were a kid? I don't know. That could be dangerous, right? Because she might be like, we didn't have candy. We just chewed on rocks and we were grateful to get it. I don't know, right? Depends on how old you are probably and how old and crotchety Grandma is. But you might say something like, Grandma, what is your favorite kind of candy right now? I want to buy you some candy. What kind should we get? Right? You could totally change the subject. Or you could say, have you talked to cousin so-and-so or whatever? What would happen if you changed the subject? Well, the first thing that would happen is Grandma would have to say something different. Right? Because if she always says these kids today, they want everything handed to them. And then you always respond with, it's a different time, Grandma. People are different. Then she always says, nobody wants to work for anything. Well, if she says these kids want everything handed to them, and then you say, what's your favorite kind of candy, Grandma? Grandma's going to be like, and they don't want to work. Oh, wait, what? Because she's used to having this pattern with you that goes a certain way. You keep doing it. She keeps doing it. That's what makes it a pattern. So if you say something different, all of a sudden, Grandma has to access a different part of her brain. Candy. Let me think. Well, I don't have teeth anymore, so I can't have caramels. I don't know what she'll say. Right? But if you could change the subject and get her talking about something happier, you have just shattered a pattern. You've just invoked the pattern shatter and changed the nature of that conversation. And guess what? The next time she says, these kids, they don't want any, they just want everything handed to them, it's going to be that much easier for you to change the subject again or use a different method to get her off topic. Because she's accustomed to having this old conversation with you, as were you. So when you start to shatter the pattern, it changes everything. The other person has to respond differently. I'm telling you, it's remarkable. You got to try it. Now, another thing you can do when you're stuck is get uncomfortable, right? And we've all heard this, get outside your comfort zone. Yeah, we know. Well, that's why successful people keep talking about it, because it works and they do it. And you could do it too. Now, this doesn't have to mean that you're going to buy a pot-bellied pig or you're going to sign up for skydiving lessons and jump out of a perfectly good airplane. It doesn't mean anything like that. It means getting uncomfortable might mean that you switch your mouse to the other side of your keyboard and mouse with the opposite hand for a week. That will make you really uncomfortable, I promise you. And it won't kill you, and you don't have to sign a waiver of liability. You know, the next time you pick out a movie, instead of picking the same type of movie that you always pick, spy thriller, rom-com, historical documentary, whatever, pick something that you would like never pick. Maybe a porno, just kidding. Sort of, I don't know, maybe. Depends on if you want to spice up your love life. But yeah, pick something totally different. Like, oh, I think I'll pick a Kevin Hart movie. Or I think I'll pick I can't think. I love movies, right? So I love everything. I watch Kevin Hart too. I don't know why I said that, but I feel like maybe you don't. So that would be something different for you. Or maybe an old movie. Maybe you pick like an old black and white classic that you've never seen. Maybe you've never seen Breakfast at Tiffany's, right? So pick something totally different. That can push you outside of your comfort zone. Maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't. Who cares? It's not really about whether or not you like what's outside your comfort zone. It's about shaking it up. You know, if when you get to your favorite restaurant, you always order the Cobb salad for lunch with the dressing on the side, what if you ordered the Caesar salad with grilled shrimp? Gasp. What if you ordered a soup? Are you kidding me? What if you ordered an appetizer and dessert? Really? Dessert for lunch? Gasp. See, look for little ways that you can be outside of your comfort zone and watch what happens. I'm telling you, you think you're stuck in your marriage, ordering what you eat is not going to matter. I promise you it matters. Because when you start getting unstuck in one tiny little way, it loosens up and untangles things in other ways. And speaking of relationships, but actually, you know what? We're getting here. A quick word from our sponsor first.
Visit CustomPendulums.com. Let us create a custom pendulum for you. You can use it for truth testing to know what's true. Full size or mini, our gemstones are for healing. They're one of a kind, and we have pendulums for guys. Visit CustomPendulums.com.
All right, welcome back. So let's talk now about what happens when you're stuck in a relationship. Now, sometimes we get stuck in primary relationships and sometimes we get stuck in secondary relationships, right? So a primary relationship would be one of the top people in your life that you spend the most time with. Usually this is like 3 to 5 people, depending on how large and close-knit your family is. Usually top 5 people is your spouse or partner or roommate, that kind of thing, your best friend, your closest family member, maybe a child, you know, maybe a coworker, right? Usually it's about 5 or less, but I would call those your primary relationships. And sometimes it's easy to end up getting stuck in those, right? Then there is your secondary relationships. That's, you know, maybe people that you work with, coworkers, neighbors, people that you spend time with or you need to spend time with, like you're required to, you know, like your in-laws, that kind of thing. But they aren't necessarily one of the people you spend the most time with. So any of these relationships can kind of get you kind of stuck. I mean, frankly, you can get stuck in sort of a tertiary relationship, like your hairdresser, maybe, you know, you say, do whatever you want. She keeps doing the same thing, or you end up talking about the same stuff every time you go in there. But usually that's not as much of an issue. These aren't necessarily the things that weigh on us, right? Because we go, oh, whatever, I only see her every 6 weeks or every 2 months, or it's no big deal, you know? It's the people that you spend more time with that when we get stuck, it's draining, right? So here's some ways that you might feel stuck in that relationship. You could be having the same conversation over and over, like we were just talking about with the pattern chatter. You might be doing the same stuff, like you and your partner. Oh, we have a date night. What are you doing? Dinner and a movie. Dinner and a movie. Dinner and a movie. And so you don't like shake it up and, you know, go to a concert or comedy club or what do you call those? Escape room adventure or something, right? Maybe you're getting bored sexually with your partner and vice versa. Or what's also tough, you could feel stuck if you feel like you're growing and the other person is not. If you feel like your relationship has been in the same spot for what seems to be too long, like nothing's moving forward. You can also feel stuck emotionally if you can't share what's going on with you, your desires, your fears, your concerns, your hopes and dreams. You know, communication blocks for sure could be a sign of a relationship that's stuck. And if you can't get any time together, oh, by the way, if you're thinking, well, yeah, I could see how not being able to share stuff, personal stuff matters with a spouse, but how would that apply to someone else? Have you ever had a relationship that has sort of become one-sided? Like it started out great, it felt equal, or maybe even the other person needed something and you were happy to provide that, like support, maybe they were going through a rough time or something. And then all of a sudden now it seems like when you talk to them, it's like 90% about them and 10% about you. And you're thinking, well, I don't need it to all be about me, but geez, shouldn't we be like a little closer to 50-50? If you find that you can't share what's going on with you and it's mostly you're giving and not receiving anything, that would definitely cause you to feel stuck in a relationship. And maybe you just can't get any time together. You know, I have a friend here in town that I adore and she literally just has no time for me. You know, I get it. I mean, I'm busy. I got 3 kids. There's tons of stuff going on. I got a business that certainly keeps me busy, but I make time for my friends, you know, and the people that I want to hang out with. So I will tell you, I kind of feel stuck in my relationship with her because anytime I reach out and say, hey, you want to get together? There's no time. She doesn't have any time for me. So, and I know it's not just me, in case you're thinking, dude, Amy, get the hint. No, like she doesn't have time for anybody, right? So not getting enough quality time can definitely be something that causes a relationship to feel stuck. You know, if you have kids, then with you and your partner, sometimes it gets to a point where it's just about the kids all the time. You don't have date night and you don't get alone time and you don't get any time together, or you get that 20 minutes at the end of the day before you collapse into bed, you know, when it's all about the kids all the time, that maybe there's no more romance. Maybe you and the person, the relationship that we're talking about, which may or may not be romantic, maybe you have different priorities about what you want out of the relationship, or maybe you need to have an important conversation with them, which you find you keep postponing. And in a romantic relationship, you could feel stuck when only one of you wants to take that relationship to the next level. So now that you have an idea kind of who you feel stuck with and where and why you feel stuck, what is the fastest way to get unstuck? The pattern shatter is really powerful. I tell you, really powerful. Like seriously, the easiest way to fix that dinner and a movie thing is just to... you could get on Facebook and look at what some other couples are doing. You know, I bet that you have at least one couple in your life that does interesting stuff, you know? And so you could notice like, oh, what are they? Wow. They're going to a concert at the outdoor amphitheater. That might be fun. We never do that. You know, oh, look, this couple's going to play golf together on Saturday. Wow, it never occurred to me to do that. That might be interesting. Could be anything, you know, but if you're in the dinner and a movie pattern, or worse, no pattern, like you're not getting any date. Look, if you're not getting any date night with your partner at all, because it's all about the kids and it's all about, you know, work and whatever else, dinner and a movie's fine. Do you know, like dinner and a movie works if you got nothing currently. But if you're in, you know, the only thing you do for date nights, dinner and a movie, honestly, that is like 45 minutes of conversation and then 2 hours of escape. Because you chat over dinner, usually about the kids, and then you go escape in a movie. So if that is your idea of a date night, unless you're like movie buffs and you love it, and then you go out and have coffee and you talk about the movie afterwards, or you get ice cream or something. Like really, you need time together just for the two of you. So what are some things that you like to do? What are some things that they like to do? And what would be some fun stuff you could do together? It doesn't take but a few minutes to come up with some ideas. And don't assume that the other person won't want to, because that's something I hear. Well, he never wants to do anything. Really? What's the last really cool thing you suggested? Was it dinner and a movie? Or did you suggest something really fun? Maybe there's no movie he wants to see right now. And I also, what I also hear sometimes from one person in a couple is, I'm tired of being the only one that makes an effort. You know what? I bet the other person really appreciates you making an effort. So if you want to just sit on your ass and watch TV every night, then stop making an effort. But if you actually like going out and doing stuff together, then keep making that effort. It's really a small investment in your relationship. And I'll tell you one more thing about relationships and being stuck. And then in the next installment, we'll finish out this little two-part segment on getting unstuck. And we'll talk about money, how to get unstuck around money. But before we do that, I want to share one more thing with you about getting unstuck in a relationship. Many times when a person feels stuck in their primary relationship, whether that primary relationship is romantic or not, it could be a twin, it could be a sibling, a parent, a best friend, a boss, right? A business partner, right? It doesn't have to be a romantic relationship, because I've seen this happen in all of those circumstances. When a person feels stuck, in many cases, they are using the other person as their excuse why they're stuck. Like I was just talking about the couple that says, you know, Bob never wants to do anything, blah, 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 whatever. I can't tell you how prevalent that is, that people are like, you know, I'd love to go do something fun, but you know, my mother is just, she doesn't want to do anything. She doesn't want to leave the house, blah, blah, blah. It's bullshit. Okay. Because unless you are reliant on that person as your sole form of transportation, like say, if you can't walk and you need them to help you in and out of a wheelchair, you need them to roll you down the street in a wheelchair. Like, unless you are totally dependent on the other person for your mobility and your transportation, then you're full of crap. Because you're using them as an excuse why you're not doing what you really want to do. This is a very eye-opening moment for a lot of people. Let's say, for example, that you want to get outside more. Maybe you really love walking, hiking, biking, swimming, anything that gets you outdoors and moving. But maybe your partner isn't a big outdoors fan. Maybe they really like to be inside, or maybe they don't like the sun, or maybe they don't like to sweat. It's way too easy for you to use that other person as an excuse why you can't get outside more. Well, I love to hike, but she's just not into it. You know, so we end up just going to the movies, or we go to the mall, or we visit her family. Come on. you're not reliant on her for your physical mobility or for your transportation, I'd lay odds. In other words, nothing is stopping you from getting outside. Nothing is stopping you from going outside and doing the things that you want to do. You really want to hike? Go hiking. You want to hike somewhere dangerous where it's important to have a buddy with you? Find a friend. I bet there's somebody you know who likes to hike. Maybe somebody you work with, maybe somebody in the neighborhood. You know, my husband does not like to play sports. And I kept thinking, man, I really want to start doing something like volleyball or tennis. Or I even thought about setting up a volleyball team. And then I thought, no, I got too much going on. I don't want to be responsible for the whole team, right? And one of my neighbors posted, we have just in our tiny immediate neighborhood, we have like a little private Facebook group. And so one of the neighbors posted in that group, hey, I'm looking at starting a Sunday night volleyball league. Who would want in? I'm like, perfect. I could play and I don't have to organize it. And if my husband wants, he could come with the kids. They could hang out and watch. And if they don't, no big deal. Stop using your partner as an excuse why you can't do things. And I especially see this happen in with money too. And businesses. People want to say, well, you know, I have this side business, but you know, my wife just doesn't get it. You know, my husband just thinks it's a waste of time. He doesn't see the potential here. Who cares what they think? Stop caring what they think. This is not their business. It's your business. And so you need to be totally responsible for your business. Now, if you're in business with your partner, and your partner is saying, no, you don't have a voice in this business. And guess what? That's really not your business. Go start your own business, right? Like maybe you are a shareholder, but you don't have a voice. Well, if you don't have a voice, you don't have a voice. Go do your own thing where you have a voice. Don't worry about what your partner thinks about that. But if you have a business or you want to create success or you want something, maybe, you know, maybe you want to paint and your spouse doesn't think your paintings are very good. Who cares? You're not painting them for them. You're painting because you want to paint. So paint when they're not home. Don't show them your work. You know, if it's that upsetting to you, what they think about it, either ask them to refrain from commenting or do it away from them. Like when they're not home or put it away before they get home kind of thing. There's always a way around. Now, when you actually take ownership and say, you know what, I want to do this and I'm going to start doing it. When you take ownership of that, there's a couple different things that can happen. Well, for starters, your partner might want to join you. You know, if you're like, I'm going to start painting. I know you're not really into painting and that's fine, but I really like to paint, so I'm going to start painting. Well, you might start having so much fun painting that one day you might be shocked when the other person says, well, maybe I'll come paint with you. Try to be cool when this happens. Don't be all like, really? Okay, great. All right, here's what we do. We'll go out to dinner and then we'll go to the painting shop. We'll do this. But it's like, no, just be cool. Right? You know, just shrug and go, yeah, if you want to. I guess. Yeah, you can come along if you want. Because again, this is your thing. You're painting. This is not a together thing. This is your thing. And if they want to come with you, great. And if they don't, that's okay. You're still going to paint, right? So don't get all weird about it. You might actually find some new like-minded friends who love the same things you love. You might meet other budding painters or hikers or whatever. And at the very least, you may find that the time apart deepens your relationship, right? That whole thing about absence makes the heart grow fonder. You never know unless you give it a shot. All right, so join me back in the second piece of this segment on how to get unstuck, where we'll talk about how to get unstuck around money. I'll see you there.
I'm a psychic. My name is Amy. You can really ask me anything. Spiritual ass kicking's what I do. And I'm here to mentor you. You can love your life and make a change. Do what the Amy